Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another amazing episode of the Making College Come True radio show brought to you by Tucson International Academy. I am Pastor John McClain here with, unfortunately, not Dr. Jennifer Herrera, but thankfully, the second best. No offense. Brian Beebe.
Also known today, apparently, as Dr. Not J.
Yeah, you are also known as Not Dr. J. Yes, like not the mama.
Yeah.
Not Dr. J. And then we also have two amazing guests in studio with us today. For the first half of the show, we will have on...
Mel Blumenthal of the Hopman Group.
Ooh, that sounds official. Yeah, for sure. And then for the second half of the show, we will have...
Chad Horinko?
That's right. Thank you.
I always say his name wrong. Well, I'm so proud of myself. Right,
I'm
now.
Proud of you, too.
He brought me coffee. That's probably
why. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's how you get us. Bribery.
And he is the director of Tutoring Club on the north side of town.
Nice. Yeah. I'm excited to speak with both these people just because, one, when you sent me their bios, I'm like, okay, some more impressive people. And I have a sense that the new, like, stand-in co-host, Not Dr. J, also known as Brian Beebe, is going to be bringing a lot of great guests to the show. So thank you. Thank you, Mr. Beebe, for that. And so we'll start with our first guest of the show. Go ahead and introduce her, kind of give us a little background, and maybe even how you know her. I'm guessing you guys have, like, a fun little background, how you guys have worked together, or how you've...
Actually, we met in the business world, in the networking world, you know I'm avidly involved
in. Yeah, you're tapped into everything, yeah, for sure, yeah.
And I knew that she was into financial planning, but I found out that she also, at one point, was a college transition counselor. You know what, Mel, just... give your bio. I'll mess it up.
I'll take it from there.
Yeah.
Currently I am a financial advisor, financial planner with the Hopman Group. We are an all-female run wealth management financial planning firm here in Tucson. Okay. Prior to that career, and what Brian is referencing, is I worked in education. So okay. I was a teacher, K through 12, mostly high school educator, and I did teach university, but a part of the role I played in high schools was I was a college and career advisor for a number of years.
Mm-hmm. They're the best.
Yeah,
So that's what I do.
Yeah. I'll softball that one in there. That's why when I met Brian, I was really interested and incredibly passionate about the work that he did, because with the college and career advising, but in the very specific and just, you know, my humble opinion, phenomenal way that he does it, because I had the background in that as well, aside from the financial planning aspect.
So that when you say you're the career counselor, was that kind of like where you take the test and they're like, oh, you'd be a good janitor or you'd be a good like principal, or was that like that kind of?
Little bit. It was also making sure that the courses that they took were in order. I would do the credit checks. And things like that. I'd worked in an alternative school. So that's where the role, I did college and career advising in a number of schools. One was a charter school. One was an alternative school. So for the alternative school, it was in dropout prevention. So it was really imperative that we did those credit checks to make sure that they were on track to graduate. And then what are the next steps going to be? So for those that were interested in pursuing the next step, are you positioned to be able to go to university, go to college? What is all that going to look like? I was the person that would handle that.
Nice. So what is like the Hopman Group exactly?
Right. We are a wealth management company, but financial advisors.
Okay.
So we do financial planning for individuals, small businesses. We do retirement planning, financial coaching.
Nice.
We run the gamut of financial services. We also have a tax practice.
Okay.
So, yeah, we help with tax planning as well.
Oh, okay. So just a little bit of everything in regards to financing.
Well, what's interesting is in college planning, there's money. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of money. These are huge businesses. Mm-hmm. And you have to approach it from that mindset. And one of the things that the Hopman Group and Mel specifically has is, one, the passion for people. Mm. And, you know, most importantly, doing what's right, have integrity. Mm. No, you don't have to. We will still talk to you if you don't have $500,000 in the bank.
Yeah. Mm.
You know, because there are financial and wealth planners, that's all they do is help out rich people.
Mm-hmm.
But that all overlaps, because how you approach paying for college affects your taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Your taxes directly affect your need-based aid, your EFC and FAFSA, that stuff we talked about last week.
Mm-hmm.
And so she has a really both a big picture and a minute, finite picture of everything that has to happen and how they overlap.
Mm-hmm.
And more importantly, surrounded by a team of people that's what they specialize in.
Mm-hmm. And then also, I mean, it almost seems like, you know, what you do in Hopman Group and then what you do at TI or what you do, they don't overlap, but how does that, you know, how does financing and the work that Brian Beebe does, how do those overlap, and what aren't I seeing in that?
Right. There is absolutely an overlap. And one of the biggest things, and it doesn't matter if I'm sitting across from somebody who has a combined net worth of $3,000, $30,000, $300,000, $3 million, the best investment that you can make in your child's, you know, education is their academic success and holistic sort of academic success. It's not just about grades. It really isn't. It is about everything that they do for those 4 years in high school. Because in terms of, it's not just about the need-based aid, it is about merit aid. And that's where Brian really comes in.
Mm-hmm.
Because let's face it, the cost of college has gone up 260% since 1980.
Mm.
That's just in 40 years' time.
Mm-hmm.
The cost has skyrocketed. The idea that the average middle-class family can really afford to pay for school is just, it's not there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the cost has increased so much to where it's just not probable.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where Brian really comes in, because he can work with families and really help position students to be able to get the kind of merit-based aid, which is really what you want to go for, in order to set them up in the best possible way for their academic success and also for the funding success.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where the real overlap is.
Yeah, and on the funding side, from Mel's perspective, if you as parents are squeezing every penny out of your bank, you're donating plasma, you know, you're doing whatever you can to pay for your kids' education, because you will.
Mm-hmm.
Where's that going for your future?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't have the money to take to someone like Mel to say, hey, help me plan this out so I can actually retire someday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let me be able to handle an emergency in my family without having a bake sale.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, money is in everything.
Yeah.
And so if you can better your position, one, for your family's future, you're bettering it for your kids' future.
For sure.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, we will talk about all that and more with Mel and Hopman Group after this break. This is the Making College Come True radio show, brought to you by Tucson International Academy. I'm Pastor John McClain, here with Brian Beebe. Nobody puts Beebe in the corner except for me.
Hello, KVOI listeners. This is Pastor John McClain with the Common Good Radio Show, brought to you by Veteran Rescue Mission. Tune in to our show every Sunday at 2 o'clock to hear about the people and organizations doing good in our community. It's about time for some good news. So tune in or go to veteranrescuemission.org to donate to the show or our homeless veteran ministry, working to end veteran suicide and homelessness in Tucson with your help.
The primary teaching mechanism at Tucson International Academy will continue to be in person, in classroom, as this is the best method for most of what your child needs to learn. And what has dramatically contributed to Tucson International Academy's record of 100% of their seniors being accepted for college. Call Tucson International Academy today at 230-3828 or go to TucsonInternationalAcademy.com to provide your child with the greatest possibility of reaching the next level.
Hello, KBOI listeners. This is Dr. Jennifer Herrera with the Making College Come True radio show, inviting you to join us every Sunday from 3 to 4 p.m. to speak with professionals, educators, and other members of our community to get tips on how to get into college and succeed in college, and also explore the possibilities of getting a college degree. Join us this and every week for Making College Come True radio show, where we can help you make college come true for yourself or someone you love.
We now return to the Making College Come True radio show, brought to you by Tucson International Academy.
Hello and welcome back to Making College Come True radio show, brought to you by Tucson International Academy. I am Pastor John McClain, here with the Brian Beebe of many things. Youth, what's the name of the organization?
Which one?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Let's just name them all off. Let's name off all the organization that Brian Beebe's is part
well,
of.
Well, actually, that's something that we'll touch on some point today, because we have now worked out our partnership with Junior Achievement.
Okay.
And that's the one I'm on the board for.
Okay.
That maybe you're going to talk about.
Nice.
But, you know, now with, as an employee of Tucson International, it just all comes together. It's been amazing.
Yeah.
And no, I could never claim to be the great Dr. J.
No, it's hard. Those are big shoes to fill. I mean, she's maybe 5'2", 5'4" tops, but 10 foot in stature, easy.
Absolutely
easy. And but we still have amazing guests. We have some powerhouses in studio with us as well. Who is our guest that we were just speaking to?
So Mel Blumenthal of the Hotman Group was.
That is a cool name to say. I could say that all day long. Mel Blumenthal.
So sophisticated.
I know, yeah.
It's very
fun. Yeah, so, well, thank you again for being here with us. And, like, you're not only bringing the class, but you're bringing some really good information, like stuff that, one, people don't consider. Two, stuff that they should be considering. And speaking of things that people should be considering, we talked a little bit last show about it, but tell us about the FAFSA and like your thoughts on the FAFSA, which seems to be like to some people is a complete mystery.
Right.
And to other people, I think like ourselves that kind of work in the industry of trying to empower people, it's like the hidden secret.
Right. Yeah. Yes. So one of the things regarding the FAFSA that I always want to let folks know, there are misconceptions about the FAFSA. And one of the big myths that I always like to dispel is everybody should fill out those FAFSAs. A lot of people think that it is only for folks at a certain income level and it is only for need-based aid. Mm. I can't tell you how many countless families I've sat with that say, you know what, we make decent living, so we know we're not going to get, you know, the Pell Grants or that need-based aid, so we're not even going to bother filling out the FAFSA.
Mm-hmm.
Not true. And here's why. I don't care if you are a part of the 1%, if you're making $1 million or $10 million a year, fill out those FAFSAs. And that is because a lot of schools will award merit based aid. Mm-hmm. We're talking, you know, the scholarships based off of the FAFSAs. So if you aren't submitting those, you are really decreasing your chances of getting merit based aid, not just need based aid.
Well, explain that to me more. I know last show, Mr. Beebe here was talking about merit based aid. And like my eyes get glazy every single time I hear that because I feel like I understand what it means, but my conscious mind says I have no idea what that means.
Right. So first, so need-based aid, that is aid based on, you know, the income, like Pell Grants, right? Mm-hmm. Pell Grants is for lower socioeconomic status. We can all wrap our heads around like the need-based aid. Mm-hmm. So merit is based on academic achievement, your extracurriculars, unique talents.
Mm-hmm.
If even something like if you have an unusual major, That could be a part of like a merit-based aid.
And is that like a scholarship you apply for, or is that something you would just automatically get if you happen to have applied for the FAFSA?
That's something. I mean, there are so many, and actually, Brian could actually speak better about this. There are so many merit-based scholarships that are just done through the schools, individually through the schools. And that's really where I would say, like, the big money and some good money can come from. But Brian, you actually can speak
better about needs-based that. Is formula-based. It's numbers, math. Merit-based is really subjective. And it also has to do with the needs of the college. So they're looking at what are you bringing to the table. Now, I'll give you an example. Let's say you're an orchestra symphony guy. Do you play the violin like 90% of the other applicants? Or do you play the upright bass? There's very few applicants, and they need one. So if you're really good at it, there's a good chance you're going to get that merit-based aid just because they need to fill that spot. But it also is looking at your community service, all that. Who is this kid? That's kind of where the merit base comes from, and a lot of it is academic, obviously.
And Mel, you when you're filling out your FAFSA, you're supposed to look back 2 years. Is that correct?
Yes, it is a 2-year look back, which is one of the other reasons why I always encourage families, if you're not certain. Because that also has a lot to do with taxes, and this is where a lot of folks' eyes glaze over. It is a 2-year look back, so they are going to take a 2-year look back from taxes. So this is why, if anybody is ever uncertain, it's always great to talk to a finance professional to help with things like that, because we have seen folks get tripped up in those areas.
And especially this year, because of the COVID situation and the changes in income. And and so there's going to be, because they're looking at old taxes, not this year's. So there's an appeal process that can be kind of grueling. But you just have to know, you know.
That's why you want to give yourself extra time and not wait to the last minute.
Absolutely.
And yeah, I guess to speak on that, like this, you know, the timing on doing this stuff. And like, particularly, like, I was just thinking, like, if I'm, you know, John Q. Public, and I just come into Hotman Group office, and I meet with Mel, and I'm like, hey, I got little Susie here. She's thinking about going to college. Like, what? How can you help me?
There's a number of things that we can do. It depends on the time frame. It absolutely depends. How old is Susie?
She's just starting high school, let's say.
In that case, every situation is, every individual is different. If there are, for example, FAFSA looks at different assets very differently. So if there is, for you, if there were assets that the federal government says, we are going to assess these at a lot higher rate and sort of, I never want to use the term count them against you in a certain way. We could actually say, okay, well, we can move these funds into an area that aren't going to get counted against you. So there's a lot of things from a financial planning aspect that can lower that family contribution that Brian talks so much about, that can position you in a much better place in order to improve, you know, the financial situation from a planning perspective. So, but it really depends on everybody's tax situation, you know, so there's a lot of things that can be maneuvered in that respect.
Okay. And so we're about 30 seconds. How can people get a hold of you and connect with you if they want, you know, some of the services that you provide?
Yeah, absolutely. So the phone number is 520-326-1625. And I can also be reached via email at mel@thehopmangroup.com. That's H-O-P as in Papa, M-A-N. group.com. I am available. You know, I'm happy to speak to anybody. We offer a no cost, no obligation financial and tax review for folks to come in. I do not believe that quality financial advice should ever come with a price tag in that regard. So
awesome. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Mel, for being on the show with us.
Oh, thank you
and
so much for having me.
Hopefully we can have you back in the future.
Happy to.
For sure. This is the Making College Come True radio show brought to you by Tucson International Academy. I'm Pastor John McClain here with Brian Beebe. We'll be back right after this break.
Are you considering going back to college? Do you know someone who is? Then Making College Come True is the book for you. This in-depth book, authored by Dr. Jennifer Herrera, local educator and superintendent of Tucson International Academy, takes what may seem to be a difficult task and gives a simple rundown on how to make college come true for yourself or a loved one. Get your copy of Making College Come True on Amazon or at TucsonInternationalAcademy.com today.
The primary teaching mechanism at Tucson International Academy will continue to be in person, in classroom, as this is the best method for most of what your child needs to learn. And what has dramatically contributed to Tucson International Academy's record of 100% of their seniors being accepted for college? Call Tucson International Academy today at 230-3828 or go to TucsonInternationalAcademy.com. to provide your child with the greatest possibility of reaching the next level.
With the help of the Tucson community, Veteran Rescue Mission has been able to help hundreds of local veterans get connected with their benefits and housing. And with your continued help, we can do better. Go to veteranrescuemission.org today to donate or see how you can get involved to make our homeless veteran tiny house village and transition center a reality. Come be part of a solution to ending veteran suicide and homelessness in our community today at veteranrescuemission.org.
We now return to the Making College Come True radio show, brought to you by Tucson International Academy.
And welcome back to Making College Come True radio show, brought to you by Tucson International Academy. I'm Pastor John McClain here with Brian Beebe, the Brian Beebe of a newly formed Tucson, or newly of Tucson International Academy that's almost 20 years old, so it's not newly formed. And Brian Beebe has so many just different skills. I feel so blessed having you. Like, I want to talk about everything you do, like the 3D imaging that you do. And
I've got some cool stuff coming with that too.
Yeah. What do you have? Tell me.
Because we're not contractually, I can't talk about it.
Contractually, can't talk about it. But he does cool stuff.
You almost got me though.
Yeah, almost. Yeah. If you haven't seen, and what's that organization that does that? So they can kind of look it up and see some of those 3D imaging.
It's not an organization. The Southern Arizona Virtual Tours.
Okay.
Yeah, there are some virtual tours on our webpage.
Mm-hmm.
SouthernArizonaVirtualTours.com. Really
Southern,
long.
SouthernArizonaVirtualTours.com. If you haven't seen some of this stuff that's going on with kind of like the outside, inside, like getting kind of a full view of some amazing place, some museums and stuff that you got up there. And
yeah, it's fun. Actually, yeah. Mel is the president of an organization that oversees the Women's Plaza of Honor that you saw.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's awesome. And we have now on the show Chad Horenko. He is the founder of Tutoring Club, I'm guessing, right?
No, I am the owner and the director of operations of Tutoring Club Tucson.
Okay.
Tutoring Club is a franchise.
Oh, okay.
So it's international.
Nice.
But a lot of the locations are owned by families in their respective areas.
Okay.
So it does kind of have a large umbrella corporation mm-hmm. aspect to it, but it is also kind of small family business run in an aspect as well.
So, nice.
So part of the community.
Yes, nice. Absolutely, yeah.
That's super cool. So tell us about, what Tutoring Club Tucson, and, you know, kind of how that came about and, you know, and how you got into that.
So I got into Tutoring Club. I was pretty much out of college, mm-hmm. and I was working on a degree in history, and it sort of dawned on me that what does someone who has a history degree do? So how do I make money? Because it'd be nice not to eat ramen noodles every day.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, for sure. You get then, tired of it after a while.
So
yeah.
It's actually interesting. Former owner, his name's Scott Nassif. He's a wonderful man. He was going on vacation, and the director at the time quit on him without giving 2 weeks notice. So someone's, you know, unprofessional act is another man's opportunity. Mm. So I was offered the job, and he said, well, move out here, see if you like it, and if you don't do too poorly, we'll hire you full time.
Mm.
And I actually did a lot way better than I thought I was going to do. I had a, sort of a natural knack for it.
Mm-hmm.
And 2 years later, after starting in 2016, I saved up some money, and with help, I bought the business. So I'm now a business owner. So it's great. It's a wonderful job. I don't know how else I would want to make a living besides helping children. So I can make money and also do it honorably. And that, I'm very blessed in that. So very happy with that.
So explain more like the function of Tutoring Club and like exactly like what services, what it provides to the
So client. The best way I talk to my parents about this is think of me as like an academic rehabilitator. You come to me with something that's not quite right, or maybe everything's right, but you want to push your kid more. And I can do anything with that. I've worked with kids who were recovering from brain cancer. I've worked with kids who had severe autism or Asperger's. I've worked with kids who are on basis and they're like at the head of their class. So what we do is we just say, where's your academic level right now? Where's your aptitude? And then we custom make curriculum for every individual student that we work with. So what a lot of other guys do, I'm not going to name names because that's not very nice, but what the other guys do is they do what's called skill and drill, to where it's just you repeat the same thing in this subject area over and over and over again until you're excellent at that. And that's not very palatable, because we have to remember education is for kids, and we also kind of want to make it fun for them, at least on some level, right? So what we do is called synthetic learning, to where we teach a concept, and then down the road, we then measure retention. So if they're not retaining it, we reteach it, right? But if they are retaining, it's like, okay, great, you learned that. That box is checked off. Now we can move on to something else. So we try to streamline their education and cover gaps in a way that doesn't take up more time than necessary. So, and it's all customized to them. So if you know everything in math, you just need a quick review, but it's just something about fractions you can't get, then we can spend all the time in the world, if that's what your need is, focusing on fractions. Whereas in school, it has to be a system to where it accommodates all the students across the school or the state, right? So getting that laser pinpointed onto what their students' needs are doesn't really always happen. And that's what students need, because you're factoring in, you know, socioeconomics, like Mel was talking about. You're factoring in family culture, local culture, and even childhood development too. Like, how is your child's brain even forming? And we allow that room for that in our education process, to where we give the students what they need.
Nice. And what, like, when a, you know, a new student or a parent's coming to you, like, what's like the, you know, the first advice that you give them in regards to, you know, accomplishing college or getting to whatever their goal is?
Well, you know, it's the question of that is, where do we even start, right? So what do I do in the community to offer, to give back? Because, you know, the people in the community pay for my income, and, you know, it's and that's transaction to transaction, student to student. So how I give back is no cost, just come on in, we'll do an assessment for free. And then if you want to use Tutoring Club to get to where you want to be for your child's education, you can use us. Or if you want to use, you know, the plethora of online free resources, you can do that too. But at least understanding where they are in relation to what's expected of them in their grade level is really important to know. Because you can walk in thinking, my student doesn't know how to read well. Well, really? Do they not know how to read well? Or is it their comprehension? Is it their vocabulary? Or is it that they're reading just fine? It's just that the way you measure reading potential is through writing assignments. So maybe their reading is fine, but it's that their writing's behind. So let me take a look, you know? And then what we were talking about earlier is that you won't go 3 years without getting the oil changed in your car and just doing basic maintenance. So why wouldn't you also, you know, do basic maintenance on your child's education? So...
It's awesome. It's interesting. I mean, it's like, one, just the this idea of a tutoring club existing, and now, I mean, and the more and more you speak about it, it's almost as if a parent not getting their student a tutor in some capacity along their life is almost borderline negligible, because
you said it, not me.
I mean, granted, I am, you know, I do work with Dr. J and sitting next to Brian Beebe, so I've certainly had a lot of people kind of teach me other stuff. But it's you know, looking back on it, I mean, my life would have been completely different if I would have had a tutoring club, if I would have gone to a school like Tucson International Academy, or had something like you guys provide. So it's super cool to hear about. And we're gonna
thank you.
We're gonna talk about that more after the break. We have Mr. Chad Herenko. That's H-R-E-N-K-O.
Yes, thank you, Pastor
John. For those that are keeping track at home here in studio with us. This is the Making College Come True radio show brought to you by Tucson International Academy. I'm Pastor John McClain here with Brian Beebe, and we're going to bring the awesome right after this break.
Tune in to our show every Sunday at 2 o'clock to hear about the people and organizations doing good in our community. It's about time for some good news. So tune in or go to veteranrescuemission.org to donate to the show or our homeless veteran ministry, working to end veteran suicide and homelessness in Tucson with your help.
The primary teaching mechanism at Tucson International Academy will continue to be in person, in classroom, as this is the best method for most of what your child needs to learn. And what has dramatically contributed to Tucson International Academy's record of 100% of their seniors being accepted for college? Call Tucson International Academy today at 230-3828 or go to TucsonInternationalAcademy.com. To provide your child with the greatest possibility of reaching the next level.
With the help of the Tucson community, Veteran Rescue Mission has been able to help hundreds of local veterans get connected with their benefits and housing. And with your continued help, we can do better. Go to veteranrescuemission.org today to donate or see how you can get involved to make our homeless veteran tiny house village and transition center a reality. Come be part of a solution to ending veteran suicide and homelessness in our community today at veteranrescuemission.org.
We now return to the Making College Come True radio show, brought to you by Tucson International Academy.
And welcome back for one last amazing segment of the Making College Come True radio show, brought to you by Tucson International Academy. So hang in there. Just soak it in and vibe every single second of this, because we only have 11 minutes and 54, 53, 52, 51. Well, anyways, I'm Pastor John McClain here with Brian Beebe, filling in for Dr. J. Brian Beebe, also known on the streets as not Dr. J, but he's been doing great over there, bud. Thank you.
Yeah, this is a fun place to be.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I feel like we just got a good team. Like, you're like the serious guy, and I'm like the color commentary.
Did you guys hear that? I'm the serious guy.
Yeah, he's the serious guy in this one. Isn't that weird? Wow. Yeah. Okay, who would have thought it? Yeah.
You know what, though? Seriously, we haven't mentioned Dr. J's book.
Oh, my goodness. Making College Come True, Making 10 College Keys to Success. Yeah. This show was built around it. So if you guys haven't been to Amazon.com and checked out Making College Come True, the book by Dr. Jennifer Herrera, that is literally a guide on how to make college come true in your child's life, please get it. And also go to TucsonInternationalAcademy.com if you live in Tucson, Arizona, and you want to put your students in one of the four different schools around the city to make college come true in your child's life. Because I don't know if you've heard, but Tucson International Academy has 100% acceptance rate.
That's true.
Absolutely. That's pretty impressive, right?
Yeah. Why do you think I was excited to come on board?
Yeah, that's how they got you, huh? Yeah, man. It's like it's like an Alex Rodriguez sign of getting Brian Beebe in the Tucson International Academy.
And B-Rod?
Yeah, B-Rod. That's it. Yeah, for sure. And then we have definitely some all-stars in studio with us. Thankfully, Mrs. Mel Blumenthal decided to hang around. Thank you. Yes. And then we also have Chad Herenko here in studio with us, telling us about Tutoring Club, which, I mean, even aside from the Hotman Group and the awesome stuff they do, it was cool to hear about the Tutoring Club, which, I mean, I think we've all kind of heard of tutoring in our life, but for them, it to be kind of like as like structurized and as legit as this, as we're hearing the Tutoring Club is pretty impressive and is super cool for sure. And thanks again, Chad, for being here.
Well, thank you for your time, Pastor John. Appreciate
it. Yeah, absolutely. We were talking about it a little bit during the break, and it was definitely swirling through my head during the last segment of like, man, and tutoring people, like you were talking about, like you got math, you got reading, writing, yep, you got like history, science, you got all these things. Like, for one, like, I'm not very good at math and science, so I probably, I don't know if I'd be the best tutor, but tell us a little bit about your background and like kind of what, you know, why do you feel comfortable to even have stepped into these roles in the first place to do this? I mean, it sounds more than humbling to me. So I'd certainly look forward to hearing your testimony.
So I can't tell if you can tell this from me, but I'm a millennial, so I'm on the younger side of the professional landscape.
We are both millennials. Yeah, I'm on the very tip of it.
Yeah. So I'm in the middle, you know, and when I was going to school, I think I was in like second grade during 9/11. Mm. And wow. I was right kind of on the cusp of when schools were really starting to diagnose like learning disabilities. So I was diagnosed with slow processing. I was diagnosed with ADD, not the hyperactive, just I can't focus very well. Auditory disruption. So a whole laundry list of things that made it very difficult for me to learn. And by the time I was in sixth grade, I had a particularly unsavory teacher who was retiring the next year. And she really laid into me that I was not smart. I didn't know how to read, and some of her colleagues believed that I had no business graduating high school and that I wasn't going to learn how to read. And I was reading on about a second or third grade level on sixth grade. And I remember at the end of the year, her telling all this class that according to New York State standards, I grew up on Long Island, that everyone was technically literate except for me. So that was really hard. You know, not being able to read. And I'm very grateful that the Lord gave me my interest in history, because that gave me the desire to want to learn. And then history is reading based. So all through seventh grade, I had an educator. His name was George Margaritis, and God bless him wherever he is now. He was really the one who gave me the good kick in the rear to really get this reading thing figured out. And by the time at the end of eighth grade, I was, I think, either ahead, on grade level or ahead of grade level. So in 2 years, I caught up like 4 or 5 years of reading. And really what I had to do, and what I think either he taught me or I coined myself, was a term as to how to hack your brain. Because the way that everyone else was learning wasn't working for me. So I had to figure it out on my own. And so now I see kids coming in at sixth grade, fifth grade, who are ahead, might be behind, but weren't nearly as worse off as I was. And I'm I think to myself, and I tell the kids this too, I was like, man, if I can hack it, you can definitely do it too. It's just that maybe we need to implement a little bit more discipline into your learning style, and just bring it down to your level. You know, it's like if you have someone who's like 100 or 200 pounds overweight, and you tell them, all right, it's time for you to run 10 miles. It's like, no, maybe let's start with a half mile jog, you know, or maybe a half mile walk. And then we ease them into it. It's the same idea with education. You know, you don't tell a kid who's behind to start reading at grade level or ahead. You know, you get down to their aptitude, because once they develop an interest in it, they don't measure the time they're putting into it to catching up. And then they're enjoying themselves and they're catching up. And before you know it, boom, they're already halfway getting caught up. Or maybe they're caught up all the way. So I turn my biggest weakness into my biggest strength, is my ability to read. Because you have to be able to read well to pursue a degree in history.
If you ever question whether he reads and retains, set aside by, I don't know, 8-10 hours and talk about anything with history.
I was about to ask him what particular era was like tickled his fancy, but I didn't want to open up that Pandora's box.
This is an example. He was helping a friend of mine who's in college dealing with a history class, and he goes, well, let me see, the first chapter will be on this, the third chapter will be on that, it depends on if it's a 40 or 50 chapter book, but your 21st chapter will be on this period. It's crazy.
Yeah for sure. Well, and so continues to bring us down the trail of like of how you went from, you know, that place of, you know, okay, catching up, getting, being able to read well, finding your interest through history, to, I guess, you know, I'm guessing going to college and all that brought you to the tutoring club door.
Well, I'll say this about college. I went to college towards the end of the Obama administration. So it started up the whole culture war we're in right now. So, you know, college is college. Some professors were there to teach. Some professors were there to do research. And some professors were there to preach their ideology. So college is college for me. After college, I had this opportunity to work at tutoring club. And I knew, and when I first started working at tutoring club, I could tell that it had been treated as a business by a lot of its owners in the past. Some were definitely better than others. But I knew that the business needed me and I needed the business. It taught me to be more of a professional, you know, because I started when I was like 22, 23 years old. So I learned how to deal with, you know, parents in the foothills, and they demand excellence mm-hmm. if they're going to send their children to you.
Yeah.
So I learned that. And then I also learned that that there were a lot more kids out there who had that my similar problems that I did. And I guess the thing that Tutoring Club is important is that, you know, the education system out here is not the education system in New York. Mm. And that's just, you know, based on pure economics. I mean, people pay, you know, $2,300, $2,400 a month in property taxes in New York. Mm. So that goes partially to the schools. So if you're not paying it through public sector taxes, then how are you going to make that gap up? And I'd say that give your money to private sector, because at least you can hold me accountable and I won't run away from emails like some, you know, bureaucrats will, right? Because so, and then, you know, and then people know where I work. So if they're, you know, if there's something that we need to solve, just show up in my office and we'll get it done. So I like that I can be held accountable and I'm not, you know, bound by red tape. I can go directly. And you know what? If you have a problem and I don't have the resources at my fingertips right now, I'll get them. Mm-hmm. And we'll figure out a plan to, you know, get your kid where they need to be. Mm-hmm. So,
another question I was really interested about is with COVID, it affected us all.
Oh yeah,
you know, in a great amount. And I wish I would have asked Mel this question as well, but you'll have to wait till next show. Well, is how were you affected by COVID and how did you respond to
that? So we were closed for like 2 or 3 months, and then the answer also a part of your question earlier too is I don't do all the tutoring myself. I have a staff of 3 people who work for me right now. So I did have a staff of like 9 people. Mm. I had an assistant director and I had a math supervisor and a study skills supervisor and an elementary supervisor. And then when COVID hit, pretty much we paid out payroll as if it was people were still working full time. Mm. And then we got some PPP money. And then when all that ran out, everyone left, so I had to rebuild from the ground up, and we survived, and we're bouncing back, but it got pretty close there, and but we're doing okay. I just want to thank you know my family and my customers and God, and I think it all worked out pretty well. But for the kids, you know, it's the only form of education pre-COVID to online learning was through college. So online learning is really a collegiate oriented endeavor. So if you expect a 5-year-old to be able to learn on a collegiate level, you're just wrong. I'm sorry. You're just sorely mistaken. So but I did hear some kids adapted to it well, some kids did not, and it you know, everyone's going to come out of this differently, but there's definitely going to be a lot to make up. And what I think's going to happen is the schools are going to have to collect a sample of where our kids at right now and then make a plan. I wouldn't be surprised if they have like a 2 or 3 year plan to where they're going to condense, you know, maybe 4 years of learning into 3 years or 2 years of learning into 3 years. But I know every school is going to do what they think's best, and every institution is going to do are going to handle COVID the way they think is going to be best. So just being cognizant of what your kid's going to be expected to do on the AZ merit test and where they are in relation to their peers in their what we call a cohort, right? All the kids for their graduation year are going to compete with each other for the schools they're going to be applying to for college.
We have 20 seconds left. Tell people how they can get a hold of you guys and connect with you.
You can find us on Facebook, Google, Yelp. It's tutoringclub.com. And my phone number is 520-299-8899, or that's Chad at tutoringclubfoothills.com.
Thank you so much for coming on the show, Chad. Yeah, this is Making College Come True radio show brought to you by Tucson International Academy. I'm Pastor John McClain here with Brian Beebe. Maybe next week we'll have Dr. J. We'll see. Maybe not. Maybe I'll have Brian Beebe again. But thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next week.
Do you have some gently used clothes, furniture, or vehicles that you'd like to donate to an organization that's helping connect our local veterans to housing, benefits, and the services they need to transition into civilian life? Then come to Veteran Thrift at 2241 North Oracle to donate your goods, time, to shop, or to take advantage of our free item program every Friday. Veteran Thrift, with your help, can get unhoused veterans the help they need.
The primary teaching mechanism at Tucson International Academy will continue to be in person, in classroom, as this is the best method for most of what your child needs to learn. And what has dramatically contributed to Tucson International Academy's record of 100% of their seniors being accepted for college? Call Tucson International Academy today at 230-3828 or go to TucsonInternationalAcademy.com to provide your child with the greatest possibility of reaching the next level.
Are you considering going back to college? Do you know someone who is? Then Making College Come True is the book for you. This in-depth book, authored by Dr. Jennifer Herrera, local educator and superintendent of Tucson International Academy, takes what may seem to be a difficult task and gives a simple rundown on how to make college come true for yourself or a loved one. Get your copy of Making College Come True on Amazon or at TucsonInternationalAcademy.com today.